welcome to another edition of the TetroCast here. We've got another special E3 edition here. It is currently June the 12th. We're a day before another big day of conferences. We've got Microsoft.
Yep.
We've got Ubisoft, PC gaming, and the Sony conference. Obviously, Monday's always the most packed out of the whole E3 week when it comes to the conferences. And so I've got another panel of guests here, a little bit different from last time. We've got Alex Seedhouse joining us from Nintendo Insider.
Hello.
How's it going?
Not too bad. So another Brit on the podcast.
Yeah. Probably should introduce you last, since obviously you've never been on the podcast before, but I do appreciate you attending this one. We've got Andrew Ip, who's actually a writer and an engineer for the Myst Network's network of sites. You obviously mostly focus on Nova Crystallis, our sister site, but you, of course, contribute when you can with our other...
Definitely, I'll help wherever I can.
Yes. So. Of course. Zachary's your host, and then we've got Alex Donaldson, big
Hello.
Boss himself.
Yeah. It's hell of a day. We should probably mention, for everybody's benefit, that we are recording this before EA and Bethesda have happened, because I'm getting ready to go, as are you, to EA in about an hour's time here. So we might be making predictions about Sony and Microsoft. Keep in mind these predictions being made before we've seen whatever is at EA and Bethesda.
So hopefully we'll come back from EA's and Bethesda's. EA is kicking off in a couple hours from now, but then we have Bethesda late at night. We already talked about those two conferences and our hopes and dreams and what we already know about that. So we'll kind of carry on to what we've got with these conferences for tomorrow. First up, Microsoft.
Yeah. In many ways, I think they're probably the most interesting.
We got lots of proof here.
Because especially now that Sony's come out and said they're not doing Neo stuff here. Microsoft is still much more of an unknown quantity, you know. The only thing that's really leaked for them now is just this morning, more about Dead Rising. But other than that, there's not a huge amount leak-wise from them.
Exactly. They've been very tight-lipped, which is surprising considering what we're used to with the
There's not been a huge amount of specific leaks. Obviously, we got all those leaks that talked vaguely about, maybe there's going to be an Xbox stick that goes into a TV like a Amazon Fire Stick and a Slim, but we don't have much concrete information.
And obviously, they're not going to talk about them. The other big release, I think Kotaku is the one that broke that story about the new editions of the console. 2017 is their next.
According to that, who knows? But
Scorpio.
Also,
I'll
be very curious if with that out there, they feel the need to acknowledge it the same way. Pretty sure that wasn't in Sony's plans either, but I think they realised that maybe it would be terrible for them to.
Not
acknowledge it and go to E3 and say nothing.
They like to wait till after everyone else has announced what they're doing.
Yeah.
They show their hands. We got used to that, especially like with the PlayStation 4 and the VR stuff. So let's talk about the games we are pretty confident that are going to be there. You've got Scalebound, of course.
We've got
articles up on the site for that game too.
It's an interesting looking game. And as is in the preview that's on the site, you can find on the site.
From last year.
Gamescom.
Gamescom,
the demos they've done at press conferences and stuff that the public have seen left me sort of cold. But the stuff that they showed me behind closed doors turned me around on that game.
Sounds personal.
It was a very personal experience.
Very personal term.
So basically, though, all that means is that I'm interested in seeing it more in that sort of... seeing more of that shown to the public, because I don't think what makes that game interesting has really been surfaced in the conferences before. So if it shows up tomorrow, I hope that they can do that.
Are you guys interested in Scalebound as well?
Well, I think Platinum are at their best when they're doing their own kind of IP.
Yeah.
We've seen that with Bayonetta on Wii U for me. You know, Wonderful 101 I loved, but didn't really kind of hit a home run with sales.
It's Kamiya, right? It's the same guy.
Yeah, and I like the concept of Scalebound, I didn't go to Gamescom last year. I haven't played it yet. It's one of the things I kind of want to be able to play this week, because actually watching it, it's one of those things where I think when you play it, you kind of get into it, you understand it more, you get a feel for what it's about, and how it plays.
Not some dude with headphones trying to drag in
around. Yeah. But like watching it, I'm just like, I wasn't entirely convinced
I think that's that was kind of the consensus a little bit, but yeah. Last time all we had was like a CG trailer or whatever.
Gamescom was gameplay, but it was a gameplay demo
at Gamescom that on stage that was focused on the 4-player online aspect of the game, and I think the actually the far more interesting bit is when they sat down and showed me an hour of single player, and I was like, oh, this is a proper RPG with Devil May Cry style combat and Resident Evil style Tetris inventory management. Like, it feels like this catch-all version of all of Kamiya's stuff. And he described it to me as, he said, this is like the culmination. He said it's his dream game that he's wanted to make for about a decade, and it's a culmination of all the things he's done before this. So...
it should be really exciting.
Yeah. I'm interested in seeing what Alex saw behind closed doors.
Yeah,
totally.
Things like that. Like, you guys probably didn't know that it had like Resident Evil style Tetris inventory stuff.
No,
but that's what it is.
I don't think anybody did, right?
That's from like 10 months ago. So who knows how far advanced it's gotten?
Yeah.
Especially if it's going to be out like 2017.
Yeah. I think it's about time they actually showed more of that stuff in the single player, because what they showed was underwhelming.
Yeah.
At best.
Well, I don't think it. You know, I think some games that do get shown off. E3 and other kind of trade shows and events, sometimes the actual footage they choose sometimes just doesn't quite strike the right chord, and they, you know, it's not alone in that regard, but certainly it's one that I'm interested in, but I'm not entirely convinced by it yet.
Do you think the rumors are true that it's going to come to PC?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like one of the reasons for the delay, possibly. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I always, there have been so many delays in the last couple of years that I kind of reached the point where I'm a bit more calm about it. I'm like, look, delay it, make sure it's okay,
like
make it the best it can be,
like, for like any game really.
We've seen things, I mean, this year Street Fighter 5 coming out, whereas clearly a point where it wasn't really ready. Could have given it a bit of time.
Upset even the fighting community too at times.
I mean, I was disappointed with stuff like Zelda, but like with the 30th anniversary this year. But
oh yeah, speaking of
delays. Anyway, back to Microsoft.
We'll talk about Nintendo, but even if you're on Nintendo side, you're a fan of other games.
I think on the point of you know, maybe delaying things to make sure that it's right, I think it'll come to PC, but maybe not day and date with the Xbox.
I agree. I think Japanese developer, they're not as used to working with the PC.
We know too well, like Dark Souls and stuff like
and
that.
I think they want to avoid another situation like Quantum Break.
Wait, it was broken,
the,
yeah.
The PC version was
Quantum Broke.
Quantum Broke, yes.
I loved that game on Xbox, but yeah.
You loved that game?
Yeah, this is relevant to Microsoft. Remedy, I like the fact that they're kind of thinking of doing things in different ways. The way that it integrated live action kind of drama with the gameplay. It wasn't a very long game. That's my only concern. That it was very for the time that it had in development, it felt very short. Given that, and then once I completed it, I was like, the actual live action segments felt like padding. Like you're watching a 20-minute episode and then you're back into gameplay for like 2 hours.
I found myself almost, the TV stuff was good, but sometimes I found myself thinking, okay, now can I go back to the game, please?
It's because like those are like the length of actual episodes, right?
Like 25-30 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, like, no spoilers, but the ending kind of opens it up to the potential for a sequel, and I'm kind of at that position where do I want Quantum Break 2, or would I rather just have some DLC that just kind of extended it and rounded it off? Because obviously with Alan Wake, that had DLC, and then that's not seen a sequel. And I worry whether Microsoft see it as being... there's enough value in there to elongate it in that way.
Mm.
Well, more to the point of, like, games like Scalebound, do you think we'll hear any like new, well actually let's continue on with like the games we know about, then we'll talk about the games that could potentially be there. So then we've got, just to quickly go through, is like we got, you know, ReCore, new game, possibly, well, Gears of War 4 is definitely going to be there, and then maybe perhaps something about a new Forza, but then we've got Rare's Sea of Thieves.
Oh god.
Well, I think there will definitely be a new Forza. I think
Oh, they're going to drop a car down from the ceiling.
I think the question
with
is
Phil Spencer lying on top of it.
Yeah,
just like
at least it's not Phil Spencer bursting free from under the stage riding a giant
scorpion.
Yeah,
which is in the game.
Yeah, of course. Like the Halo Warthog, you can walk around the giant scorpion in Forza Auto Vista.
You can climb on top of Phil Spencer and climb into him.
What we don't know is actually the secret name for the new Xbox One model is Scorpion, not Scorpio. Everyone's got it wrong. All links up.
Well, anyway, so I think there will be a new Forza. The question there is, will it be Forza Horizon 3 or a new spin-off on the Forza series? It'll be from the Horizon.
I've always enjoyed Forza Horizon and those kind of games more than the actual mainline sim games.
I agree.
Do you think they're going to like capitalize on Apex the Forza for PC free, kind of free to play game and just put like release a game at both Xbox One and PC day and date?
I think it did pretty well, right?
I heard it's actually pretty good too.
Forza Apex thing, I think both those that and the Halo Forge thing that's coming over, Microsoft testing the waters for ways they can put those Xbox franchises out on PC, but in a different way, to still potentially encourage ownership of an Xbox platform. Like the Halo thing, I think is actually really genius. In that Forge is a brilliant thing, and I built a lot of levels, especially circa Halo 3 sort of time. But building those levels with a controller is a pain in the ass.
Yep.
So giving you a keyboard and mouse in which you can do that, and making it so you can have custom games on your own Forge map so you can test them with your friends and then ship them across to Xbox and have them be played as part of normal playlists in Halo 5 is a really clever idea. Now, with Forza, all they did is they put out this small package, and I think that there's a question there about what they do with that series as far as PC goes in the future. Certainly much the same as the Forge thing. Forza's famous for all its decal systems. That's something that PC execution of that is an obvious idea, because people spend hours making incredible anime girls or Halo cars, but they're making them out of 150 different component pieces.
Yes.
On PC, obviously, that'd be far easier to do. So I'd be intrigued to see that.
Well, I'm surprised in some ways why they've kind of backed off Smart Glass. They're always kind of leading
like
into
the divisions,
it.
Stuff like that, like someone could be on a train with them.
I wouldn't necessarily say they've backed off it, because they're still updating that app regularly. I just think they've realised there's not as many uses for it as they thought.
People
just
got
like the Wii U.
Just like the Wii U. Yeah.
I just think, like, in a way, they on an iPad or whatever, that's a good way to also kind of start doing designs and stuff. I don't think a PC owner would be keen to be my experience of Forza is I can go and do a decal and then put
I don't know
Xbox.
But I think there's a lot of Forza fans who will also own a PC who would download a free app and do that, because you've got to remember, when you sell the vinyls online, you get in-game credit, you can use that to buy new cars. There's a I spent ages recreating Sonic the Hedgehog 3 sprites and then sold them on the decal store, and they're basically funded because Forza's some of the money passed from game to game. That's funded those things I made in Forza 3 has funded my Forza career right into the Xbox One age.
Also the credits,
because not all of them, but a lot of your credits do carry over. They have like a cap on how much you can take with you from game to game.
Just makes you sound like an addict.
Yeah. Sprites.
So that's interesting, but Forza's not that interesting. I think Sea of Thieves is the other.
You're telling us about like how much Sea of Thieves has grown and what you've seen of it.
Well, I haven't seen too much, and it's just a matter of you speak to people who at the studio and things on the sly. But I'm really interested in that game. It's coming, the creative head is Greg Males. So one of the common misconceptions about Rare is that everybody's gone from the N64 days.
Yeah.
And obviously there's the guys who've gone off and done Ukulele, and that game's looking incredible. But Greg Males is the actual guy who created Banjo and Kazooie. And Banjo Kazooie began life as a game called Dream, which is a Super Nintendo game, it was about pirates and stuff like that. And Dream gradually morphed into Banjo Kazooie, especially in reaction to how massive Mario 64 was. They wanted to make a game like that, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about Sea of Thieves is Sea of Thieves is almost Greg saying, "Okay, I'm going to return to some of those ideas and merge them with some modern." Gameplay conceits. So it's sort of like you get the best of both worlds in that I think modern Rare has done some great gameplay conceit stuff. I think Viva Piñata is one of the best games of the generation. Same for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. So they definitely still have it. I think people tend to forget that because of the Kinect stuff.
Yeah. The Avatar stuff.
The Avatar stuff.
Yeah, the Avatar stuff. But this is them going back to that, and also the ideas they're drawing from in a broader sense are ideas that actually come from their golden age.
Good.
In terms of the parts and stuff.
Pre-rendered backgrounds and...
What I'm worried about, though, is that Lionhead got to the point where Fable Legends was pretty much nearly there, and I played the kind of closed beta for it, and I really thought it, you know, shaping up pretty okay, and they got shuttered.
I'm amazed that they didn't let that game see it out, and if it was a terrible failure, then shut the studio. I understand why they shut the studio. I really feel like they closed that studio down because they made significant changes to the Lionhead structure after Peter left to build it into a studio that was focused on this free-to-play game-as-a-service idea for Fable, which is fine. But then what happened was they realised that type of game wasn't going to work out, and I think it was going to be more trouble to turn the studio back to how it was than it would be to just shut it and spend that money elsewhere.
But it's just when you're boasting about the greatest lineup in Xbox history, and Fable Legends is on that, like all that marketing, like in the UK we've got like EGX, like Eurogamer Expo, and you walk down the corridor and there was like Gears of War, Rise of the Tomb Raider, like all the characters, and I was excited for Fable Legends because in their portfolio of games, it's got that unique British humour to it. Mm. It's been a great series, and Fable 2 was a bit good and bad.
Fable 2 was lifted more than Fable, and then it was like.
Well, I love the dog, but I just found the game very short, and the ending was just like, what? you got three choices. You can either save everybody that's died, get some money, or get your dog back. And I was like, well, the dog's the best thing about this game. Which choice are you get? The dog? that's all the people that died.
Just a picture of a sad dog.
I think it was telling, and almost in a sense, the fate of Fable Legend was written on the wall last E3, where I remember sitting in that press conference.
Mm.
And they all now, especially the platform holders, especially Sony and Microsoft, let in a lot of fans because they want noise, and the press don't necessarily claim to make noise. Sony tends to just merge them in with everybody else, but Microsoft always has them in their own section, and they're always closest to the stage, closest to the mics.
Wearing green t-shirts.
Yeah, the green t-shirts.
The sea of green, right?
That's the thing. Microsoft, it's like, you know, put a badge on them or whatever. Yeah. A special badge, like they put them all in the same ugly, disgusting T-shirts. So it's really obvious. I don't know what's more devious, that or the way that Sony just blend them in with everybody else, so it just looks like everybody's clapping.
So right next to you,
Either way, what I'm saying is, when they did when the press conference opened, they did that greatest lineup thing, and it's heads of characters appear, and head of Marcus Fenix appears, and there's a huge cheer in the crowd.
Oh, yeah,
head of Lara Croft appears, there's a huge cheer in the crowd.
On the Fable
Forza Car appears, and there's like a small cheer in the crowd. Fable Guy appears, and there's just sort of like one guy goes, oh!
Yeah.
On the other side of the room. And, and that definitely, that was telling.
Well, the thing is, it's not a character you recognise, though.
No, it's like right away, you're like,
it's like if they did that this year, and they opened in exactly the same way this year, and it was the new Gears character, Marcus Fenix's son, I forget his name.
Have you seen the shoes that they're wearing, like the Microsoft staff are wearing this year?
No.
They've got like Gears of War 4 shoes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like looking at them, and I'm like, who said yes to that?
Someone somewhere.
Well, apart from that, though, just to quickly run through, because Microsoft obviously is one of the biggest out of the three tomorrow. Do you think what do you hope will be there? Like any surprises? Maybe more Halo Wars 2.
Well, obviously, we're going to get more Halo Wars 2, which I'm really excited about because nobody makes RTS games like that anymore. All the RTS games that seem to get made now are all either what a friend of mine, shout out to Jack, calls big map games, as in, you know, your Europa Universalis or Stellaris or whatever.
Yeah.
They are your huge scale, like Total War Affairs or whatever. What I'm interested in is a Command & Conquer style RTS, and it looks like that's what that'll be, so I'm excited about that. We're obviously going to get Dead Rising.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's all leaked. I'm excited about that. I love that series. I think there's a strong chance we might get Resident Evil also this show, and I think out of the two Capcom zombie series, Dead Rising is the better one.
These days.
Yeah.
Resident Evil has a lot more to prove after the last one. Well, it seems like Capcom's got their other Resident Evil like shooting game, right?
I don't think it will happen. I don't think it will happen here because it's too.
People forget about that.
I don't think it will happen here because it's too soon. Because all of season 3 isn't out yet. But I would like. I hope they do a Killer Instinct season 4, but I think there might be something that is a Gamescom thing.
Do you feel like they're running out of characters though?
Half in every season it's been a handful of new characters, half old characters, and they've essentially run out of old characters now, more or less. I think they've got one left to do or two left to do.
What if they bring in Marcus Fenix?
Well, that's the. I don't think they'll bring in. Well, there was a leak.
Chainsaw Attack.
There was a leak, and Marcus doesn't really fit. The same way Master Chief doesn't really fit, but given that so much of Killer Instinct is that's my point, because so much of Killer Instinct is monsters and aliens and genetic experiments, Arbiter makes more sense than Master Chief, and the same for Gears, a Locust makes more sense than Marcus.
Well, you see, there was a Master Chief or like one of those characters in the Dead or Alive game.
Isn't General Rom in it?
Nicole.
Isn't General Rom already in it?
Well, that's the thing. I think that's a leak that will be announced.
Oh, right.
But I hope that maybe they'll obviously be doing Killer Instinct interviews at the show. It would be a lovely thing to hear them say, yeah, we're finishing up season 3 and then we're going to do season 4, because I think that game is great.
It's just going to morph into some kind of like Microsoft version of Super Smash Bros. With like,
I'd say it's pretty much the end there. It's like the All Stars.
I think, as long as the characters fit, I'm fine with it. It's like I was always really angry about the Star Wars stuff in Soul Calibur.
Yep.
But I was never angry about the Assassin's Creed going Soul Calibur, because I was like, okay, you look like these characters, you fit with these characters.
Yeah, and I think the way that they're using the characters as well has impressed me more than, say, the way that PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale did.
That was terrible.
That game's
I got both platinums on that game, but on Vita and PS3.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
I'm ashamed of both of them.
Yeah, I would be.
I think the only game that I'm interested in seeing is what if they're going to ever reintroduce the Phantom Dust reboot, because I think they've abandoned that, but
Phil Spencer said recently, he's like, it didn't work out with that studio, but we still want to make this game.
Yeah.
And so,
but that doesn't mean it's going to happen anytime soon though.
One of the things that I wonder though is publishers have been known infamously Square Enix did this a little bit with the Western Final Fantasy XII spin-off that they got cancelled.
Yeah.
Sometimes publishers have multiple teams work on the same game and then cancel them. And it's like, maybe there were two studios working on Phantom Dust, completely unaware of each other, and they cancelled the one that they thought didn't look as good.
I just think that Microsoft are under pressure to turn. They tried so hard last year to turn things around for Xbox, and it's still trailing.
I think they've turned around the perception a lot.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
sales-wise, totally. They've got so much work to do.
It's still like half the sales and all that.
And that's why I think they're more interesting than Sony.
Yeah,
that's true. It seems like they have so much stuff to show already, so it's kind of hard.
I just think that with them, in terms of approaching the conference tomorrow, I feel like we know a lot of games at this point, and I just want them to have some surprises that actually generally make people go, I just don't want to walk into the conference and go through the entire thing and then just not kind of feel like there's any kind of wow moment in it.
It's stuff that you already expected. Yeah. Like, that's what I expect. It's like the things that people already kind of know that's going to spend the most time on it.
Yeah.
But, anything you were looking forward to?
I think they need, apart from surprises that we have no idea about, or maybe some of us do, but I'm looking forward to ReCore. We haven't seen anything apart from the CG trailer. Which is disappointing.
From the makers of Metroid Prime?
It was supposed to come out this year, right?
From the producer of Mighty No. 9.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually one of the things that I'm interested in. Like, for instance, so I think we're talking about stuff about this year, next year. I think one of the things that's quite interesting is, okay, so is Dead Rising 4 this holiday, given that it's set at Christmas?
Yeah.
Because it's weird to announce a game. It's weird, like, if you set a game at Christmas, you want to release it around then. And if that game isn't going to be out until next Christmas, it would be weird to announce it here, so I assume that's a game for this holiday. Yep. I think Sea of Thieves is a game for this holiday. No. Forza will be a game for this holiday. I think Recall probably will be. That's a pretty strong holiday, and Gears already is in the holiday.
Yeah. I think
that's a pretty strong holiday lineup. We've already
had the greatest lineup in Xbox history.
And then Crackdown is, you get the multiplayer beta or whatever this year. And then
I think Crackdown's delayed.
And then Crackdown, they've already said, is a 2017 game.
Oh, okay, I missed that.
But like the multiplayer beta will come first, and it will give everybody a chance to see that tick. Yep. And that was another one where, when I saw it at Gamescom, that is the first thing this generation I've seen where, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is the generational leap that I've been looking for, because the graphics improvements this gen have been relatively small returns.
Yeah.
But when they at Gamescom, they had this amazing thing where, well, not amazing, but they turned on the debug and they showed us how that building destruction thing works. Mm. And it's like each city block is assigned to a different computer on the server rack at the other end. So everything was color coded by what server rack it was in. And then they had a meter at the top that showed you how many servers were being pulled in based on what you were doing. And they were like, we were the last appointment of the whole of Gamescom, and they said, we're going to try and get it as high as possible. Our record is 11 servers. And so they gave themselves all weapons and unlimited ammo and stuff like that, and started knocking down buildings and got to 14, I think, and they were all high-fiving and very excited. But like seeing that shit, and like when they handed me the controller, I'm like, just to prove that we're not lying, here you go, look at this construction stuff. Of course, the first thing I did was shoot a penis into a wall.
It's like
and then like, but like, if you shoot the penis into the wall, like completely, and then run up against it and melee it, if you've done it well enough, like laser cut it, you can punch it out, and then there's just a penis shaped hole in the wall that you can walk through. It's amazing.
Was that your tagline for your article? You can punch a penis.
Yeah.
Well,
possibly.
Yeah, just leave it at that.
But anyway,
not even a penis shaped hole.
Punch
a
penis out.
But anyway, that's so I'll be interested in that. But yeah, I mean, if Dead Rising is this year, and Recore is this year, and Forza will be,
Resident Evil maybe,
and you've got Gears. I don't know, because Microsoft put a lot of stock into having, you know, they did a lot of the co-marketing stuff for Resi 5, and it did very well.
Six, rather,
and it did very well on 5 and 6, and it did very, both of them did very well on 360. But if they've got Dead Rising and they're more interested in growing that series, and who knows what the contract they've signed with Capcom's like, maybe they signed a contract with 3 where they get first refusal on all Dead Rising games for the foreseeable future. But like, if that's the case, why bother with Resi?
I think the C3 compared to last E3, though, they're in a position where they want to have the Sony moments that they had last year, where they had, you know, all the things that you thought would never happen.
The trifecta. Shenmue
3.
See, I suppose we'll get onto that, and we're going to transition into Sony pretty quick here anyway. But, like, my problem with that is Sony's conference last year was a lot of fucking hot air.
Yeah.
It was no games that were actually coming out.
Yeah, this is the problem I have with it. I kind of felt like they had the wow moments, but then I was like, after you got over the excitement, you then had that realization that I'm not going to play any of these games for like 2 or 3 years.
You want to announce it and release it.
And that was my criticism last year.
I don't know if you saw, somebody did a wonderful article, and I wish I could remember where so I could tell people. But
was it me?
No. But it was crunching the numbers on last year's E3 conference for the number of games that were shown that then actually have been released. And Sony had by far and away the lowest percentage. And then props to EA and Nintendo, who had like 96% each.
Kotaku have done a couple of articles about this at the conference, everything they announced.
Yeah, they do that every year. Delivered on what they promised.
And so I hope Microsoft don't go too far down that path. It's like, I'm sure we will get.
Sure.
I'm sure Bonnie, what's her name? Bonnie Ross?
Yeah.
I said Bonnie Tyler then.
The Halo.
Not quite.
Which is not.
It'd be awesome if she was on stage.
It would be awesome if she came out. But I'm sure Bonnie Ross will come out and she will introduce somebody from Creative Assembly to talk about Halo Wars.
Yeah.
And I'm sure maybe we'll have a CG teaser or something for the next Halo. And because that tends to be their pattern with Halo. It tends to be they'll do a teaser, but not really show anything of the game. They'll do a story-based teaser. Like, here's where Master Chief's going next. And then next year we'll actually see the game and then it will come out.
Another
but
TV
like,
show.
I don't like them doing too much of this.
Yeah, but I think you need to. This is a thing that I always thought was a problem with Wii U. They didn't really kind of say, right, if you buy it at this point, this is what you can look forward to. And last E3 was another thing where they're like, right, we're going to concentrate on things that come out in the next 6 months. And I was like, yeah, but, you know.
Well, you know why the reason that was, though? Well, because it's become clear now that nothing is fucking coming out after those 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I still feel like, in terms of longevity, though, if Microsoft are going to shift into this kind of iterative hardware, you need to know why you're going to either switch to Xbox or invest in it.
Well, so let's move on then. I mean, obviously, Xbox will show. Microsoft will show their indie showcase as well, like they did last year.
And I'm sure they'll talk up backwards compatibility a lot, because I think they're at 40, nearly 50% of 360 games now work on Xbox One, which is quite an achievement considering it was zero a year ago.
Yeah. Some of them hit 100
titles by December or whatever it was.
To be at half now, you know, is really something else.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. So other than that, I mean, just to quickly get through Ubisoft, because we'll move right into Sony. Ubisoft, of course, we got Watch Dogs 2, Siege.
Do you think Aisha Tyler's going to be in Watch Dogs 2?
Yes.
Yes.
Just like last time.
She has to.
Yeah. I think Yubi, it's like, for us, we're really looking at South Park and Division.
Yeah,
right?
South Park, the fractured bed hole.
Yeah, and Division. And like, and South Division. Park, I'm confident in that game. It's like Obsidian solved all the hard problems when they made the first one.
It's
all that Ubisoft San Francisco need to do now is just make another one of those and not screw it up.
Yep.
And Matt and Trey are still involved, so I'm really not concerned or worried about that game. I'm just like, it's one of those games. I'm going to see it this week, but I don't even need to see it. I would be very happy to just buy it on day one or get it.
Same. Yeah. Yes.
And we also got, like, just to quickly go through, Tom Clancy's Wildlands is also in a game, but also and then. No Assassin's Creed, we already knew that. Yeah. But do you think?
I think they'll probably tease it.
I think they will have an exclusive trailer of the movie at their press conference. That's a Ubisoft.
Yeah,
that's a Ubisoft thing.
They want to do the movie. I think they'll probably either announce the next Assassin's Creed.
I think
they'll announce it with a short trailer, just so people
get. Well, they better have it before Jason at Kotaku leaks it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they want to get it out before somebody else does.
Do you guys think we'll see Beyond Good and Evil 2?
No.
Because I think that could put all the rumours around it being some relation to NX. I think that's being held back for.
I think
Nintendo.
If that happens, that's where it will happen.
Yeah. I'd hope that for the benefit of fans, it's not console exclusive.
Mm.
But I think if there's some relationship there.
If Nintendo was.
It was on GameCube before, but it's also PlayStation 2.
Here's what I'll say. I think we'll get a new IP from them. I don't know what, but I think we'll get.
Yeah,
some, I think we'll get an all new IP from them.
I enjoyed that for
no
game
what
as well.
Yeah.
Last time, and I haven't really seen much.
They like
that.
Their big announcements, like Watch Dogs 2. They obviously did way too early, but they did that for Watch Dogs was that, Wildlands was that last year, and so maybe another. Well,
I
think new IP,
you'd
like
be starting
deal.
To. I wonder if there'll be more Australian this year because they seem to be starting to get the message that they're being exposed a lot for the carefully staged, slightly liar demos.
Watch
Dogs.
Yeah.
Well, all of them, they're all like
games that compared the E3 demo to actually what the game was at launch.
Yeah. Some of them look better. Far Cry 3 or 4, whichever one it was with Vaz.
Final?
Have I ever told you the definition of insanity, that guy?
3.
Oh, 3.
Was that 3?
Yeah.
That one definitely looked better. Other ones, not so much.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think they're relatively unknown quantity, to be honest. It's
But the thing is, though, I enjoyed the Far Cry series. I played 3, 4. I'm still playing Primal, but what I'm worried about is the whole Assassin's Creed approach, where things are just coming out to one
but they seem to be getting. They seem to be understanding better now. It's like I like the Watch Dogs 1 year, Assassin's Creed next year on off schedule. That works.
Yeah.
I think the better thing for that schedule is probably to do a three-way schedule, which is sort of what BioWare are doing. I think from BioWare now.
A three-way
schedule. But from BioWare now, I think you'll see a Mass Effect game, whatever the new IP is, a Dragon Age game, a Mass Effect game, whatever the new IP is.
Yeah.
And then that's much more stretched out, and I think that's better.
Do a Call of Duty approach almost like that. Every 3 years.
But the difference is it's not the same game with the same engine every time. Mass Effect, Dragon Age, and whatever this new thing are going to be are all going to be drastically different things. And I hope that's the path Ubi go down. But I think there's not too much for us to talk about.
No,
with them,
right? I guess the pressure is that they have to obviously have the games out to make money.
Yeah.
They have to lean on the IP to get that through for the investors.
Yeah.
Especially when they're under threat from a hostile team.
Yeah.
Oh, Vivendi, yes.
Yeah.
I was looking for For Honor. That kind of like
disappeared
off the radar.
I'm a big, big fan of Chivalry.
Yeah.
Which is basically what For
that
a bunch
game,
of like Vikings.
That game looks good.
I'm a big fan of Chivalry in general.
Yeah.
But
such a gentleman.
Well,
let's keep this rolling then. So I already mentioned the PC Gaming Show. I'm already hoping for some games to be announced there, but it's like I don't want to. I'm just going to mention it by name because like the games that we kind of know will be there. I assume that Microsoft will be focusing some of their announcements there because they seem to be like moving more and more towards the announcements. Probably a lot more ports will be announced for their what's it called, Windows. What's their program that they have?
Universal Windows Platform.
Yeah, Universal Windows Platform. There, and maybe like as you mentioned to me before, like the possibility of like it being more open. But We want to talk about Sony because I'm sure there's a lot to talk about. So we already know there won't be their Neo platform, the PS4.5.
It's real.
They confirmed it, but they said it's not going to be at E3.
I think they might talk about it a little bit because they don't really have it.
I think it will be like a one sentence.
They will mention it in some way,
people
but
will be like, where
spend
was
too much time on it. Yes,
because they're between a rock and a hard place now, because that could kill PS4 sales for 6 months.
Yeah, just
so they don't want it. So they want to draw as little attention to it as possible.
That's the same thing for Microsoft if they mention anything about it as well, right?
Well, I think there's the difference with Microsoft though is they're probably going to ship a new Xbox, the Slim, like next month or something.
Yeah,
like they're ready to do that. And even if and having something new and shiny is a good distraction from Scorpio, you can just go, what Scorpio? What? No, look at this.
Yeah.
And so I think that they can get away with it a bit more easily, whereas if Sony's got to sit on those rumours for... Like, I'm sure if they had the choice, they would have much rather to have continued to sell PS4s without a mention and then dropped it in August against Common Ground.
Sony has more to lose by announcing.
But they're,
like
they're facing rumours where the Scorpio is far more powerful than this PS4K, whatever it's called.
It's Neo, just call it Neo. The PS4K.
And I think... with Nintendo as well, like it's weird. There's been kind of this waiting game of, you know, you announce first, and then we can kind of try and course correct or try to make it. You know, we go for these specs or these specs.
One day this will come out, but it's like when they did all the pricing, the least produced bit of the Sony conference when they announced the PS4 price was the slide with the prices on. And I am convinced to this day
that they changed it
that afternoon after definitely. Microsoft had announced
it's
their
always
prices.
Still
I think what they did is that they removed the camera and brought it down by 50 bucks.
I 100% agree.
Because prior to that, they'd always advertised the pictures of the PS4 with the camera and telling you it was like an essential piece because tracking the controllers and all that, the Switch multiplayer views and...
Having sex on the... What's
that
thing called?
Speaking of cameras, not speaking of sex. They also have, of course, PlayStation VR, where the camera is required. The wands or whatever aren't required, but the camera will be. So, obviously, we're talking about this conference might last like 90 minutes to 2 hours. VR seems to be, once again, like the dominant focus of this company.
I hope they don't showcase that. I hope they showcase maybe the games.
That's why they won't show Neo, because they need to focus.
But no
Neo
demos, please. Like the PSX demo was.
Yeah, I mean, my worry is.
I think we're in for like a good half an hour VR. Yeah,
at least.
My worry is though that you can't really understand the game unless
you
play it yourself.
Yeah, I think the VR demos are inevitably going to be like Book of Spells style cringy.
Yeah.
Which it is what it is.
I've got one pre-ordered, and E3 was the time where I was like, I'm expecting to spend time on it, but it's the time where I'm like, I either keep this pre-order or I cancel it.
So I think Sony, you're going to get like a big VR drop, a huge VR drop, because they're treating it like a console launch.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe like with their first.
And there's probably going to be 12 to 14 games on day one.
Yeah.
They'll probably want to give almost every single one of those games a spotlight, even if it's just in a sizzle reel.
Yeah,
they'll probably show maybe two or three of them and then sizzle reel the rest of them.
Yes.
So you've got that. There'll probably be some sort of VR drop from somebody big. Like maybe they're going to show this Star Wars one, or maybe they'll show that at EA and then it will show up again.
They already got Rez and Ace Combat.
Which it isn't a proper game, it's an experience, but it's Star Wars, so they'll want to get that out there.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get a Shenmue update, I guess.
The Last Guardian VR.
An update on Shenmue, you think?
Oh god.
Well, I think they have to. I think given how much they put into Shenmue last year, especially given the fact that they didn't have the testicles to fund it themselves outright. I think it would be amiss to not at least have a brief, 2 minute developer documentary with a message from you.
Did you back it or did you?
Like fuck, did I back it? And for I love Shenmue, but I'm not going to back it because I thought it was a.
Yeah.
It's not what Kickstarter's for, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To fund something that's being backed by a massive corporation.
It
that's
was
thing number
be
one.
Funded
and thing number two is, every single time they've shown that game since, it's looked like shit.
That's what I was going to say. Like I asked whether you backed it because I want to know how you felt about how it looked if you had backed it. Because
well, if you think about the budget that it has, kind of game
that
Shenmue is the most expensive game
at
the time.
Let me tell you, those three games, the trifecta, the Year of Dreams, those three games are Star Wars Episode 1 level of I've waited my entire life for this. Because I don't think The Last Guardian is going to be as good as people want it to be. No. I don't think it looks like a PlayStation 4 game. I think you can tell it comes from last generation.
I don't care. I still want to play.
I think that Shenmue looks like garbage, and I think that it's one of those never meet your heroes things, in that Shenmue was well ahead of its time when it came out, but now really a lot of the things it did are like neither here nor there. And Final Fantasy VII is never going to be what 99% of those people want it to be, even if it's a good game. So like, that's the thing about the trifecta, the Year of Dreams. They're fucking nightmares waiting to happen. They're episode ones waiting to happen, where they're going to go, well, Tetsuya Nomura ruined my childhood, Yu Suzuki has turned into a hack, and, you know,
I just feel like saying you're in a bubble, like they can't do any wrong, and whenever something bad happens, then people are like, oh no.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, for me, Last Guardian is my most anticipated. Shadow of the Colossus is, like, my favorite game of all time. So, even if it doesn't look as great as some of the, like, Uncharted 4 or something like that, that's not really why I come to those games. Like, even if you look at Shadow of the Colossus and Ico, they pushed the PS2 to the limits, like, to an issue. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, like, the frame rate issues and the depth of field and stuff like that. There's a lot of fog in those games. But, like, Last Guardian, I want to, like, get the feeling of that connection between the boy and the animal and all that stuff. Like, the story, the teasing, the animation is usually way more advanced than, like, the visuals ever were in those games.
Yeah. So. I really, really, really hope that game is good. I think it will be good anyway, but I really, really hope that game is, like, a 10 out of 10 classic, like Shadow of the Colossus. But when they did that demo last year, I watched it and I was like, I'm bored.
Yeah,
I got really excited. Like, when you go back and watch it again, it's like,
it felt very it's so awesome. Restrained that you can only do certain things.
I mean, and that's just what they were shown at the time. It was just,
and you can definitely, like, there were two games last year where during their E3 demos I was bored. Yeah. One was Halo 5, and one was that. And Halo 5 did bore me when I went and played it as well.
I thought when he jumped off and grabbed the tail at the very last moment, I think that was amazing.
I think that type of game is something that you can't demo properly. You don't want to spoil
the story,
right?
I agree, and you get that because I learned just yesterday, you know, Nintendo apparently want journalists to play Zelda from 60 minutes to 90 minutes because they don't think you can get a good vertical slice otherwise. And I don't know if Sony are doing TLG hands-ons, but I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't hands-on at the show. But
Zelda would probably be like a dungeon or something. They want you to go through the entirety of it.
Well, so let's move on to, like, quickly. I mean, obviously, we might get some more announcements like that. Maybe we'll hear about some other big announcements. Because
Agents coming back this year.
Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man thing. Like Square Enix usually has a slot at Sony's conference for something. And it's like, what does that get spent on? Does it just get spent on a trailer for 15? Does it get spent on the reveal of hardware?
Power Season 3.
We've been led to believe that there is going to be a 15... console bundle on PlayStation. If that actually happens, we'll have to wait and see, but now would be a good time to announce it because you can't leave it much fucking later, especially because you've had people pre-ordering special editions and stuff. They're only going to feel burned if you then announce a console.
And then, I mean,
Kingdom Hearts 3.
So we've got, like, other games. Just to quickly run through, like, the other games that are going to definitely be
you said about Kingdom Hearts, like, Kingdom Hearts has had its trailer and 12 before E3. What's notable is we have not seen a Final Fantasy 15 E3 trailer released by Square in the run-up to the show, which means it's going to be at Microsoft or Sony.
At one of the conferences.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's something to keep in mind. And so just to quickly run down, we got Horizon Zero Dawn's definitely going to be there. Dreams, maybe not. They're not going to spend as much time as they did last time on Dreams. No Man's Sky.
Well, Dreams, they did a big preview thing, I think, in the UK, or at least the PlayStation Access people played it. Yeah. And they did a really brilliant video. Definitely worth checking out on YouTube. But that I presume will be at the show in a big way, so if not at the conference.
That's the thing. And then we've got, obviously, their indie showcase. They always put a lot of love, like Devolver Digital and all those publishers. Mm-hmm.
Do you think No Man's Sky is going to pop up again?
Mm. Yes,
I think so.
I think it'll be as part of the virtual reality thing.
It's probably going to be like this stage show.
It's going to be like,
they can't put too much.
Here's a PlayStation VR segment.
It's getting old now, right? Sean just shows up on stage and he's like, "This is No Man's Sky."
And it's, we know.
Again. I feel like the way that game has been marketed and built up is a noose around that team's neck, no matter how good it is, and they're going to regret it badly.
I think that's Sony's mistake.
Because I can't see anything but a backlash against that game now. It'll be the reverse of The Witness, where it seemed like, because Jonathan Blow is an eccentric chap, I think people, to say the least, I think there was an attitude around that game before release, which is like, well, maybe it'll be as good as Braid, but maybe it'll suck. I certainly felt that way, and all the trailers sort of left me cold, and then I played it, and I was like, Damn. And No Man's Sky is the reverse of that, where from day one everyone's been like, this looks fucking incredible. Yeah, yeah. And then the longer time has gone on, the more people seem to be like,
skepticism is coming in, you know?
It's because
why is it taking them so long? Is there something wrong with this game? Yeah. Is it going to work as it, you know?
And to like the last couple of things I can think of that they might talk about is maybe Last of Us 2. That seems like something that they...
Too soon. I think we'll get Uncharted DLC.
I think it's way too soon.
I could see them ending the conference there with some kind of like...
Maybe.
This is the next project from Naughty Dog. And then, you know, like a kind of teaser or something. No kind of like game.
That could be, but I think...
I think they'll end the conference with God of War.
I think they're in the...
Even though that series is terrible.
What if they end the conference with Hideo Kojima's game?
I think it's too soon. This comes back to what I said about last year.
Yeah,
he might.
I don't fucking want to see that because it's not going to be out for 2 years.
I think they might open the conference with God of War.
That's a good point. Yeah, open.
They could get Kojima to come out, and one of the things that I'm surprised because they bought Kojima in house. One of the things that I'm surprised hasn't happened is them putting Kojima in a sort of in the role that Microsoft had Peter Molyneux in for 3 or 4 years, where basically he was in charge of Lionhead, but he also, you know, once every 3 months or so would go to Rare, would go to the Microsoft London studios, who were making a lot of the app stuff for the Xbox, and basically so all the European he would go to Remedy, basically all the European studios that Microsoft either owned or was working with. Peter would swing in and drop ideas and stuff like that because he's famous as a curator of it. The same way, you know, Miyamoto flies over to Retro and looks at it and goes, "This is garbage. This is good." And I'm surprised that they haven't said. I mean, he went on that world tour, but he said that was for the engine. But I'm surprised
that's
they
what he said, though. We don't
no,
know.
No, but I believe that to be the truth because the places he went weren't just Sony places. He went to lots of third parties.
But he did mention it was a tech tour, right?
But what I'm talking about is more him going into Quantic Dream and saying, David Cage, you're terrible, leave the games industry forever.
I was going to say, like, Detroit is probably going
to
be
there again. Or going to Guerrilla Games and like saying, this is good about Horizon, maybe you want to think about this. So he seems like if he's under their banner.
Yes.
And that would be a good video to debut, not to show his game, but to maybe go, here's a few vanity shots of the new Kojima Productions offices, and also here's some shots of Kojima visiting other Sony studios and giving them advice.
I think that's what we might get, maybe like a film of like how Kojima Productions, a studio, is being set up, and maybe he'll come on stage.
I mean, I'm all for him coming on stage and for like Andrew House to stare lovingly into his eyes. Like the announcement video.
The smug look he had on his face.
It wasn't a smug look.
I wish he would look at me like he looks at Hideo Kojima.
Find somebody who looks at you like Andrew House looks at Kojima. Yeah.
Here I am talking Japanese as well.
he's really fluent as well.
Yeah, no, he is.
They just want to give him his space, right? I think that's one of the reasons why he went with Sony. I think he said... It was because it was a familiar company that they gave him his freedom.
But also, this is a man who is famed for all his projects overrunning on time and budget, which is what caused all the friction with Konami. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, and if you are Sony and you know that, maybe you don't fucking announce this game when they've only done a month's work on it.
Yeah,
that's true. Maybe you sit tight and you wait a year or two.
It could be 6 months of development at this point, though, because he left in December, right? Konami.
But then again, he
was on holiday.
Clearly, they've got an idea.
Party that he was with his friends.
Clearly, they've got an idea because they put up that teaser, and it definitely is Norman Reedus' face.
Yeah.
So clearly, they've got an idea that they're working with.
But he doesn't even need to announce a game when he's there. As long as he's on the stage, maybe show like concept art for something.
This is true of Paul Shendu kind of thing.
The press conference is now just a spectacle. You want to get people to
see, though, Kojima's, this game he's doing, having some involvement with Del Toro and basically just rekindling.
Oh, Del Toro, if you haven't followed his Twitter account, he's been talking about getting back with Kojima.
Yeah.
Within Reedus,
and
they did a
chat together somewhere as well.
Yeah,
Del
yeah,
Toro.
They had a meeting. Yeah.
I can't remember
so,
where that
so
was.
So not Kojima show up first, Del Toro show up first, then Kojima come and tap him on the back.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Allison Road.
Oh man!
Oh, that's a shame.
The PT fan made game, and so that was
I don't think those games can work because the problem with those games is that it's like the escape room we went to last night. It's a one-time experience, really.
Yep.
And PT is a wonderful experience, but it was incredibly expensive to build for something that lasts, what, how long did PT last? Like half an hour?
Depends how long. It depends if you figured it out or not.
Like, but my point is, it's a lot of assets, it's a lot of work, and it doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
And if you can...
but it was amazing.
And it's like, you know, I don't think...
I think
that's the problem with survival horror. That's the problem that Resident Evil's faced. Resident Evil can no longer do those tense, quiet, slow-moving things.
It's all action
because
packed,
it's too
like
expensive. You have to... It's like the famous, you know, the famous story about Uncharted 1, the thing that I think makes that game actually... And I never thought Uncharted 1 was particularly great. 2 is obviously one of the best games of its generation. But the famous thing about Uncharted 1 is that they were 2 months out from release. And they realised the game was too short. And so they literally just threw, like, an extra wave or two of enemies into every encounter in the game. Like, super last minute. Because they needed to stretch the game out. But it would be too expensive to add any more content. So it's like... And that's a problem of scale with the industry where it is now anyway. But because of that, those survival horror games are so hard to make. It's like, that's why, you know, we talked about Microsoft earlier, and I said, well, for them, I don't know why they'd bother with Resident Evil 7 if they've got Dead Rising, because...
There's a confusion.
Dead Rising is a game that goes down a different path. It's a big open world, so you spend those assets, but then you can do so many different things in that world, it makes the expenditure you do on the assets much more worthwhile than Resident Evil, which is a linear, unless Resident Evil is no longer linear. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's switched from being survival horror, where you're literally worried about, you know, your own survival.
To
action-packed, kind of gung-ho, like, I remember playing Resident Evil 5, like, there was, like, a bit on, like, hover boat or something. Like, it's just...
Yeah, 4 was, like, the last one. 4 was actually, obviously, the reinvention, but 5 really went the whole, like...
I enjoy the series so much, but it frustrates me how...
It's like a thriller rather than a survival horror at that point.
Yeah. It's kind of the lack of... I see it more as a lack of confidence in the concept that they felt like they had to westernize it, you know, in kind of a... in that way, and... It's the pressure of, you know, hitting sales numbers. You know, I can't fault a business for trying to make profit. We don't want to put out something and then obviously not get a return on it. But I think now there's just been a shift back to going back to the original idea and kind of just going back to basics rather than actually trying to fluff it all up. So if Resident Evil's coming back, I'm hoping that it's either a reset point where they kind of go back to all that or not.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, so, you know, so Microsoft's conference kicks up at 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and then we got Sony's conference at 7 o'clock? Or it says 6, but...
6:30?
Well, yeah, because we're not doing UB, because it's always, I'll be honest, it's always a fucking horrible sweatbox in a tiny venue.
With ice time.
The air conditioning almost always... The air conditioning almost always breaks.
What music do they have for Just Dance 2017?
Yeah,
it's always an extremely weird conference to watch live, and also it's always extremely difficult to actually get into.
And what we got is like South Park and Division DLC. That's
so, and we are seeing them during the show.
Yeah.
So we'll be back here in between Microsoft and Sony, which means we'll probably have time to do a reaction video to Microsoft, I guess.
Yeah.
Be good.
And then we're onto the show pretty much. But like, I don't know. It's an interesting year, definitely. Like, there's so much going on, and Microsoft has so much to gain. Sony has so much Microsoft has so much to gain, and I think Sony has so much to lose. Not with regards to losing ground to Microsoft, with regards to this is their one shot to truly sell the PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
And I know they've sold through their pre-orders, but so did the Kinect.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to stick that landing. Those early adopters are always going to be there, and you're always going to sell so many that you can claim like Kinect to be the fastest consumer electronic launch in history or anything like that.
Yeah.
But then you have to continue on beyond that, and I think even early on it was clear with Kinect from that E3 prior to its release that the games were not ultimately going to be there. Same for the Wii U.
My worry with like saying that is when they've tried to do other hardware than their kind of core PlayStation business, they've had PlayStation Move, they've had the Wonder Book, they've had...
They've had a lot of swings. I mean,
had the Vita.
The Vita. The Vita is great, but I mean,
it's a Gamescom.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, E3 is not usually for Vita at all.
They literally took 2 steps back from that far too quickly.
Credit to Sony. They do experiment in ways that others don't.
Yeah, no, I think their first party output is by far, aside from my Nintendo pride, the most that I enjoy on the other platforms. And the diversity of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like usually, they introduce a lot of diverse things. Microsoft's been leaning towards that the past couple of years too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that thing of, I worry that when Nintendo was in the Wii kind of success era, they got very kind of overconfident, and some of their beyond launch, like a couple of their conferences
the
a couple of years later,
yeah,
they were very arrogant on stage, and I just don't want Sony to reach the point where they have that. I kind of saw it a bit last year.
Well, Sony reached that point, right? They reached that point
with the PlayStation
2 where
the reason they kind of, I think the PS4 kind of sparked a lot of success was they went back to that core idea, look, we're doing this for the gamer, you know, and it felt very modest.
We don't want to end up back at E3 2006.
Yes.
No. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, that's the worry.
They started this new generation for them in the right way, and I don't want them to kind of basically fall off the...
I think it's just, that's the hubris that comes with being on top, and I haven't yet seen one of them actually avoid that. I've seen Microsoft, Sony did it off the back of the PlayStation 2, and then Microsoft did it off the back of the 360.
Yeah.
And now, I agree with you, the last couple of years from Sony have been... you've seen the creep of it. You've seen it, literally, the balance has shifted in that you've seen Microsoft's hubris shrink as they've realised that they fucked it.
Yeah.
And... Sony. They're trying to rebuild that brand because they did an astronomical amount of damage to that brand.
Yeah, it's all
and Sony's hubris rising, and so the pendulum is shifting back again now.
Back to where it was.
It's like Phil Spencer being like, we're putting the gamer at the center of everything that we do.
It's like, what happened before? Like, you should have done
this. Because that's the interesting thing. It's like, if we're talking about Neo, this is obviously going to be something that we're not going to know until next year, but if we're talking about Neo versus Scorpio, if we're talking about Neo versus Scorpio, the question is, does Microsoft's desperation lead to them being really aggressive and making that really aggressively priced and really good for the consumer?
Yeah.
And the flip side of that question is, does Sony's hubris lead to them not doing as much with Neo as they should? And hopefully the answer to both those questions, hopefully the answer is that Sony and Microsoft both do the good thing.
We'll have to see what happens. So, well, that's a roundup of the conferences for tomorrow, which will be June 13th, 2016. This is, of course, another day of E3 coverage. We'll continue on throughout the rest of the week with what we're going to be seeing. We still have one more day of conferences. Well, one conference with Nintendo, of course. I'm sure we'll
Stringy
back in the back in lineup for their...
They call it a conference.
For their, the conference. We'll have you expect your 24 hours of Treehouse... live.
Coverage into my veins.
Yes.
Straight.
Good times. So at least it's more diverse than they let on until a couple ago. So once again, I'd like to thank Alex Seedhouse, Andrew Ip, Alex Donaldson.
Nice, welcome.
For joining me on this panel once again. I'm Zach Reese, your host. Catch us next time on another edition of the TetraCast.
Definitely.
See ya.
Bye.